Here we go. Another raw, non-fancy episode without my sophisticated audio recording equipment and without the beautiful intro that I had in the first three or four episodes. The custom-produced beats from a DJ. No, none of that. It's just me because somehow, in all of the love of the fancy stuff, I realized how much work goes into it, and it was stopping me from continuing my commitment to 10 episodes. So here I am. I'm coming to you unfiltered and raw. You could probably hear my washer or dryer in the background, and maybe you can hear me slipping down into a semi-slumped state on my couch just to cuddle up and relax. But here I am. Welcome to Mrs. Impossible. And today I want to talk to you about, let's see. Well, you know what? In the first few episodes, I planned out the segments of each episode. I did the swiping with Cindy. It was so cool. It was fun, but a bit too much work. So, you know, the two segments that I can promise you today are the confession booth and fresh pick thoughts. Fresh pick thoughts is just me not planning at all what I'm going to say, so that's going to happen. But first let me, and that'll probably end up filling up the entire episode today, so let me get started with the confession booth. Okay. The confession booth. Oh, do you hear my washer? That's my washer ending. That's the little beep. Okay. Here we go. Back to confession booth. So you know the confession booth segment is about sharing something that I want to confess and that I have forgiven myself for. So something that I genuinely felt bad about but forgave myself for. Here we go. I have felt genuine shame. I had felt it about being on Tinder, even though it received so much attention in my first several episodes. And I suddenly felt shame. Why did I feel shame? I felt shame because after being off of Tinder and experiencing some higher quality dating apps, and by higher quality, I mean people who are more likely to be on the app looking for something longer term. Higher quality means endurance. Quality means something that's going to last. And that's just what I mean. So when it comes to potential dates who are looking for something that's going to last, there are much better dating apps for that. And since I was off Tinder for so long using these other apps, I realized how much better quality men I was meeting. And I thought, wow, to think the difference is so drastic. That's the word. The difference was so drastic. And I looked back and I thought, wow, I gave so much glory to Tinder and even put it in the title of my podcast. And I thought, oh, let me delete them all. I just don't want that out there. Because now I see why Tinder has its reputation that it does. But you know what? Ready for this? I do forgive myself because it was fun. And the truth is, so many people like myself loved the experimenting. Even like I've said in a past episode, my own medical doctor I saw on there, he showed up in my Tinder swiping deck several times. And not only that, but I ended up in two relationships out of it. So it does produce some good, and it takes tons of digging because initially it is, unfortunately for me, because that's not all I'm looking for, a hookup app. It was a hookup app. Now a lot of people go on there finding something much more than that, but you know, okay. So I went on there like the probably smaller percentage or minority of people who are actually looking for something more, much more than a hookup. And so I forgive myself for that. That's right. No shame. I forgive myself. I went on in a pure-hearted, fun spirit, waiting, looking for an adventure. And one of the best results from it was a 7-month dating relationship with probably one of the best guys I had met, you know, by the time I got off of Tinder a few months ago. He was one of the best guys I had met from all of the dating apps. So not only in terms of responsibility, like a responsible, faithful guy, vulnerable, good looking, and all these wonderful things, except long-term visions for us did not align. And what did that mean? Things like kids, and where do you want to live for the rest of your life, and where's your career going to take you? So, you know, long-term things. Anyway, so I don't feel bad about being on Tinder. What I did end up doing, and you know, if I end up staying single in the long term, I might go back on, knowing the differences between the different apps. I would treat my profile much differently on Tinder than any other profile and be probably very friendly but strict and be very explicit about what I'm looking for so that people don't write me who are just looking for hookups. I was pretty good at that actually at Tinder, but there's ways to make it even better, like saying what you're looking for in the photos, because people often don't read the profile descriptions. They just look at the photos and match, and then they write you again without even looking at the profile description. So I think the key for me would be to put what I'm looking for in the photo, somehow writing it on a wall and pointing to it in the photo, something really like that. I mean, look, if you have some creative ideas for that, let me know. But yeah, but right now, you know what's happening? You know what's happening right now? So I was on a few other apps that were much classier in terms of sophistication. You know, not just looking for a quickie. I wasn't looking for a quickie, but you know, like in terms of Tinder, a lot of people looking for quickie experiences. And some of the other apps are people looking for more long-term. One of them was Plenty of Fish. That one was my favorite for the past few months. And I actually met some really great guys from it. And one guy, and none of it lasted, but one guy I have currently, I haven't gone on more than 4 dates. The max was 4 dates. I mean, and that was only one guy. All the others were no more than 2, maybe 3 dates. That's all that it took for me to get a good sample experience of how faithful a man might be to his word, how well we communicate, how safe he makes me feel or doesn't make me feel. But I have to tell you, one guy I met on Plenty of Fish a few weeks ago just met so many of my expectations. And as of this episode right now, he and I are dating exclusively, meaning I'm not going to go on dates with other people or meet other people and consider them, you know, go through the whole romantic potential partner review process. I'm not doing any of that. If I have male friends, you know, well, acquaintances really, you know, when I see them, I'll say hi, but I'm not going on dating apps right now until, you know, I know, well, not until, but hopefully I don't ever have to go back on a dating app. That's the extreme optimistic look on things, of course, but you know, I'm getting to know this gentleman who I clicked with quite well, and it's usually really strong or not, and this one was really strong. So we've gone on about how many dates now? Well, how many dates? Oh, at this point, probably 8 or 9. And, you know, that's what happened with the last 2 boyfriends I had from a dating app. We met several times in the first week, and we had that tight daily communication. A lot of the guys who I've met in the past, they might be great, but they don't give me that sense that they don't give me that daily communication. That's what I'm looking for. I want to share life with someone. I don't want to share half of my life, you know, every other day or 50% of my week. I want to share life. One of the things I loved about a past boyfriend was that he would say, "So what did you eat today?" He'd send me a little message. "So what are you going to eat later? What are you going to do? When are you going to the gym? When are you going to sleep?" Like those little things are the things that make up life. The simple, sweet. And if you cannot feel the appreciation for those little things in life, then what makes up the fabric of your life? Like, what? So those little things are so important to me. And that's why daily communication is important to me. And not all guys really want that, or you know, they might be not ready for that because they're in a money-making mode, and that's fine. And some guys, you know, have serious time commitments to their business or to their career, and they just have no desire to invest time in a romantic relationship. I don't even like that word romantic. I think I said that in the last episode. Anyway, but some guys are very successful in their career, and they also know how to manage their time well enough to share their lives and the small things on a daily basis with someone else. And that is one of the gentlemen, fine men that I have met so far. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So I'm not ashamed for my Tinder experience. I forgive myself for that. And if I do go back on Tinder in the future, if things don't work out, and I decide to go down that path again, I don't know if I will, but I'll definitely do it with a pure heart as I did before, and I will do it with strong boundaries as I learn to do as well. So that's the end of my confession booth. And we kind of slipped into a fresh pick thoughts segment because I started going a little bit further and further away from the topic of Tinder. But I was still talking about dating and dating apps. So it was still related to the confession booth. But now we could go into fresh pick thoughts. Fresh pick thoughts. You know what? Confession booth is so fun though. It's really a fun segment. But here we go. Fresh pick thoughts. I was actually thinking of having, well, I'm going to have a confession booth number two because there are other things that I can confess. Boy, oh boy. But the reason why I have other things to confess, because I'm usually very self-forgiving. Well, not usually, but my ability to forgive myself has grown tremendously, exponentially over the past few years. Maybe the past 7-ish, 8-ish years, 9-ish. I feel like every year I get more self-compassion. And so I forgive myself a lot. I really don't have a lot to confess because have this constant growing awareness of the need for compassion for myself and others in life. So I don't have a lot to confess in one sense. What happens is I do the thing, I do feel the shame for a little bit, and then I quickly recover from that shame with the self-compassion. So it just doesn't last long. Really, that's what I mean, is that I do things and then I feel, and then I forgive myself very quickly. So there might be a lot of things to confess, but the shame or whatever you might want to call it doesn't last long because I'm learning to forgive myself. But the shame does come for a little while. It does. It does. You might be wondering, why over the years? Is it just age? Is it just experience? Getting older? You feel more compassionate for yourself? No, I really, you might think that's the case, but I have to say that, did you just hear my stomach talking, by the way? See what happens? See, now if I had my nice, shiny, professional audio editing equipment, I would edit that little grumble out. I don't know, it probably did come through the audio here, but anyway, it's more like digesting than grumbling, actually, because I ate before this recording. See how intimate I'm getting with you? Okay, so what was I even saying before? Right. So why do I think I have growing compassion for myself over the years? Number one, I did not have much compassion at all for myself when I was very religious. Now, there's a good kind of religiousness to have, and there's a bad kind of religiousness to have, right? So there's a religiousness that is just humble, and you know, maybe people go to a church every day or some sort, and they care for the poor every day. And there's a religiousness that, you know, might condemn people or think that some people are better than other people, or some people are going to a place called hell and thinking that we have the judgment ability to even judge that, or assume who's rightly assume who's going and who's not. And that kind of mentality can cause tremendous stress and judgmentalism and anxiety. And I did grow up with that for all of my life, until in 2011, when I read a book that several Christian friends did not like, to put it nicely. And then some loved it, and it radically changed their lives and made them love Jesus even more. but that's the book that I read. And once I read that, the worldview that I had changed from an incredible fear of a God who could potentially be incredibly angry with me to a God who was actually full of endless mercy and forgiveness, and beautifully, heroically, the most heroic kind of character you can imagine. So in 2011, that book, the book Love Wins, which I have tattooed on my side because I always want to remember the amazing moment when I lifted my eyes from that book and looked out into the world, and the sun was shining brighter and colors were more vivid. And suddenly this fear of a God who either was not powerful enough or was unable or unwilling in some way to save people from hell, that idea just disappeared, and suddenly everything changed, and it was a very different idea of God that was more loving, gracious, and I no longer believe that if he's real, that he would, that he's powerless, and that he's or that he's unable. I stopped believing that, and I stopped believing in this place called hell in terms of unending conscious torment. My mother brought me to a church when I was very, very young, and pretty much brought me throughout my life, and we went through many different kinds of churches, but one thing she carried through all of those different theologies was this idea of unending conscious torment and hell. So once I read the book and realized the original language was very different than the English I had been taught, it was radically life-saving, really, and life-saving in terms of feeling alive again every day and making decisions out of a genuine whole heart versus making decisions out of incredible anxiety and fear of, you know, just an angry God being unhappy with my decisions. And so you can imagine I became much more forgiving of myself, probably began erring on the side of freedom rather than erring on the side of condemning myself for any possible decision. And it's a much more fun life if you can err on the side of freedom. If you can balance it with enough caution, you can just barely make it. So that's why I became more forgiving and of myself and other people. And it has been an amazing journey. And every day, every week, every year, every month, I feel myself becoming a warmer person. And moving from New York to Australia also incredibly helps that. People here inspire me with how chilled out they are and how they really know how to laugh at themselves. Of course, not everyone. Of course. But much more so than when I lived in New York and America. So I've learned to forgive myself more and more as time goes on. So I think the book, the change in my worldview, the change on if there's a God, what is he like, that change has been life-changing for me. And yeah, sure, experience, growing older, maybe. But, you know, I don't know if that's the reason, just simply age itself. I think it's the experience. There are a lot of people who become more bitter as they grow older. They become more hardened to the world rather than more compassionate. You could go either way, compassionate and softer in your heart and wiser, or more bitter and hard and angry, irritated? So I feel fortunate to have gone the softer way. I was just thinking, I paused this recording so that I could stop and think a minute. And I thought, is it a big deal to those of you listening that I said I am dating someone exclusively? Because I don't know. I don't know how big of a deal that is. It is a big deal to get to date 8 or 9 with me, as I said. I have met at least, you know, in terms of just meeting for a drink or coffee or tea right after work on my way from the office to the train or on my way from the office to the bus throughout the past couple years, just stopping for a quick drink, I've met at least a couple hundred gentlemen. And with very strong boundaries, a lot of the time, I just keep it to half an hour, just to see, because you don't know what it's like in person very often. I learned the hard way that you have to put a time boundary around that first meet because you haven't met them yet in person. And people often have such drastically different impressions in person. You get, first of all, physically, you get much different physical dimensions of the person. Whereas in a flat photo, you only get what, a couple photos, a few photos, and it's flat. Whereas in person, you can see their posture, their width, their height, their depth compared to you. And so there's that physical factor, so aka physical attraction, and then there's the movement, right? How do they hold themselves? What are their facial characteristics, facial gestures and body gestures like? How quick do they walk? Do they walk with you? Do they walk ahead of you? Do they drag their feet when they walk? Do they seem sloppy? Did they hide, you know, some kind of maybe irritating habit that wouldn't come through in a photo or even a video chat? So there are all these things that you experience in person that you would not experience in a photo or you know, photos and written text on a profile. So you have to keep it short. So I kept it short. And out of all of those, I just never really, never say never, except I just did. So you must be able to say never. Because never saying never means you're still saying never. So I did go past 2 or 3 dates, but with only a very few guys. So does getting to date 8 or 9, how much does that mean? It means that there is a good contender. So yeah, I myself don't even know what to do at this point. I'll you know, just say that I am in the process of, you know, how do I decide from here? I want to be very smart with my time. I don't want to just keep it going. And I want to pay attention to the red flags. If there are any red flags, I've learned, especially from the last relationship, that, that, you know, if you ignore the red flags, they will come up eventually. I'm aware of what the flags are here. And so I fortunately can just talk about them openly with him. They're not really flags, actually. They're, let's say, lifestyle. No, maybe they're not flags. Flags, I would say flags usually refer to something negative about the person's character. Something that could be problematic about their character that irritates you or is negative in some way. Whereas I think the things that I see currently with my 8 or 9 date guy is just a long-term lifestyle compatibility question, family planning type questions. Since I am looking for something long-term, these are the things I think about. Why get into something? And this has happened before. Why do you get into something when you know that within a few years or 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the other person is going to want to give birth to children. The other person doesn't want to give birth. Why would you get started in something like that? Unless you're just thinking short term. But I'm not. because that can be emotionally taxing, even financially. If you invest a lot of your time and money buying things, going out with that person, and you end up leaving them anyway, why? I'd rather invest long-term. And I know that when I meet the right person, that time is going to fly. Days, weeks, months are going to pass, and I'm going to think, oh my goodness, I only have, you know, if I'm a human who lives the normal lifespan of a human, I'm only going to have X number of years with this person. Like, no, you know, that's the feeling I'm going for. So why invest short term when you know that there's a possibility for that experience of decades going by with someone and you just seeing that time fly by? You want every possible second with the person who you're going to love and share life with. So I don't like wasting time. So so the question now with Mr. Date number 8 or 9 is, do we have long-term vision compatibility, particularly when it comes to having kids? That's the compatibility question that is standing out for both of us right now. What will happen by episode number 10? I've committed to 10 episodes. It's exciting to think. Will he be long gone history by 10, or will it have developed into something significant? Will he and I have genuinely addressed that topic in a satisfactory way? There is another topic, but it's not as big of a deal because he and I both believe that love is very strong and you forgive many things and are able to make things work when you love someone deeply. But one hilarious to me thing that we do not have in common is the indoorsy outdoorsy thing. I am a city, how do I put it? I'm an air conditioning, they say here in Australia, aircon loving, computer, curled up on the couch with a computer kind of girl. Very fair or porcelain skin with dark hair. I'm not the kind to go out in the sun all the time, because a long time ago a skin doctor, aka dermatologist, said you could potentially get skin cancer with your skin type, so do not lay out in the sun. They gave me some warning relative to that, so I just stayed out of the sun out of fear. So here I am. I chose to go the porcelain skin and contrasting dark hair look for so long. So I am not tan. I love being at home in the aircon, comfy. I even turn up the aircon and put on a hoodie, which some of you will not like hearing me say because you are very aware of the environment and energy conservation. Sorry. And he is a completely outdoorsy Aussie, the very embodiment of the Aussie spirit, surfer, tan, outdoorsy, totally extroverted. He makes everyone crack up. He makes me crack up every time, which is one of his key attractive qualities, just how he makes me laugh. And no, it's been, has a guy even made me that laugh that much? I'm trying to remember. Yes, one other guy I dated made me laugh out of all of the men in the past few years that I've met. One other guy made me laugh a lot. But that was only 3 dates. So this guy has already far exceeded that. And anyway, he makes me laugh so hard. And the beauty here is that he also loves indoorsy things. He's very outdoorsy. He goes to beach parties, boat parties. He's outdoors like most of his life and his time. I said to him, how often do you even hang out at home? He's like, as little as possible. I'm like the opposite. I'm the opposite of that. Well, so we'll see what happens. I don't think that's not a deal breaker. I tried to make it a deal breaker. I said to him, look, you are at parties all of the time. I might become jealous. I probably won't join you. You should date someone else. There are many times so far in the past few weeks in our 8 or 9 dates. Yes, that's a lot maybe for 2 weeks to some people, but it's not for me. When you're really into someone, life is short, guys. You don't know how much time you have. If you find something strong, go for it. Anyway, I said, don't date me though. I pushed him away several times already, maybe at least 3-4 times. I can find it in our message history. I said, look, you're very outdoorsy. I'm not that way. And he said, no, but that's not a deal breaker. He seemed really into me. And that was so attractive. His effort has been genuinely melting my heart. His sense of humor has been melting my heart. But the children thing might be sadly, the issue. I'm not sure. I don't remember in my last episodes if I've told you guys my position on that. I want everyone to have children who desires children. Actually, I would love everyone to have children who... Actually, you know what? Anyone, every good person, every person who is kind and gentle and intelligent. Actually, not, even the non-intelligent one. Just people who are kind humans. I want more of them in this world. I hope that all of them multiply by tenfold. We need more love and kindness in this world. But some people are born infertile and they cannot produce children. And I think these people that are like that are made to help support the people who do have the children. Because, you know, if everyone had children, then who would support people who have children? Who would be there and available? Once you become a parent, you're busy. You're busy all the time. Who do you, you know? I don't know. I don't know the complete purpose of the people who are infertile, but I can see there being a huge benefit. And those people having more time to help support their adult friends and maybe even be the cool uncle or aunt. There's a reason and benefit for those people. And best of all, reason. There are many children who don't have parents. So when you have a couple who are infertile, they can adopt the children who've been neglected. And I knew a couple, actually, I benefited from a situation like that. When I went to university, there was a couple who was infertile. And so they opened up their home to university students. And I was so grateful that they invited me to live with them. And to this day, we still kind of keep in touch. Actually, they're back in America. And actually, when I moved out, they legally adopted a girl. So she took my place. Literally, they needed the bedroom and I had to move out because they had adopted a little baby girl. But how beautiful is that? Not everyone's meant to give birth. And because I'm not planning on it, and I'd rather adopt. So that puts me, because of that desire and position for me, it's the reason that I believe I'm single, because I have met several men who we get along and have shared so many things, but that thing we disagree on, and it's such an important thing. I wouldn't want to disappoint him or make him feel like he, you know, is going to miss out on something in life, and he doesn't want to do the same thing to me. So I've had to keep moving on from several men who have wanted their own biological children, and good for them. I hope that they find a wonderful woman and that they multiply tenfold. That's my thing. That was a very deep thing. I have two beautiful nieces and a nephew currently, and they're in Los Angeles in America, and they are magical little creatures. And I'm so happy to be an aunt. And the hope and the wonder that I feel looking at their photos and videos, because I'm here in Australia, they're there, all I can see is photos and videos, it just brings me so much joy. So much joy. That doesn't mean that I believe I have the energy, ability, or desire to give birth to my own. Not at all. Actually, it just affirms my desire to that adoption feeling, to take someone else's children, to be able to love them, which I've had for a long time. I just spoke to my sister today, And she was like, yeah, I remember you've always kind of felt that inclination for adoption. So we'll see where that goes. All right, enough about dating. No, you know why dating comes up so much? You want to know why dating comes up so often in these podcast episodes? It's because, you know why? It's because something I've said with my coach. I have a personal coach with 24/7 Friend. I have my own coach from 24/7 Friend. I'm a coach as well. I'm a personal coach, life, business, career, and so is she. And we're both on the 247friend.org website. There's my plug. But she coaches me, and I get coached by many different coaches at different points in life. But one of the things we discovered recently is the fact that, well, there's in coaching, your coach is there to help you identify something you really want and keep you true to yourself and keep you true to that goal. And something I've been willing and courageous, after a year of thinking about it, I became willing and courageous enough to say, you know what? The thing that brings me the most joy and the thing that motivates me the most throughout life, at least the external thing that motivates me the most, has been the hope for a partner, a romantic partner. So I talk about dating so much and romance and da-da-da-da because it excites me the most. That's why. And so I'm currently working with my life, business, career coach, and I make lots of decisions with her, but the number one thing I'm currently working on with her is getting moving and making the right decisions so that I make the right dating decisions so that I can meet the right guy. And I can't force another human to come into my life, but I can put myself out there in the right way and prepare myself and do the things that, keep me moving and making progress towards that goal. So yeah, I'm working with her and just putting myself out there in the best way. I'll just be vulnerable with you, and my current challenge, right? Every coaching conversation, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, every coaching session, she checks in with me on my goal and my progress. And the thing that I was working for in my recent conversation was a few weeks ago, was getting my new dating profile up. Like, I was going to take it all down and put it all up with a refreshed, a better spirit about it, and one that would be more efficient, because I was just tired of getting messages with people not reading my profile description, right? So I actually said it earlier here in this podcast episode, but I actually started thinking, okay, what can I do completely differently and to start new, to start fresh, to give a different impression, one that's more clear about what I want and just puts out there a better energy, because I felt like maybe I wasn't putting the right energy, the right emotion, the right spirit out there with my emotion. Maybe that's just a better word. With my prior profiles, maybe I just want to put out there more of a new side of me or a deeper side of me. And so that's what we're working towards. And I was actually going to put what I'm looking for or put some kind of thing into my photos to help narrow down the people or filter out the people who don't read the profile description. I'm just tired of opening those messages, right? So we were working on that. And then I met this particular current guy, and I stopped. What happened was, it came to the point where I was working on it and he and I weren't exclusive yet. And so then it came to the point that I was working on the dating profile and I was ready to, start publishing it. And I said to him, okay, well, I felt bad. I didn't want to publish it as he and I were getting closer and just clicking super deeply. And I thought, well, I don't want to publish a new dating profile without telling him. And I actually really like him and I want to get to know him. I don't even want to divide my attention with anyone else. Because I know when you publish a profile for the first time or a brand new one, you get tons of attention as a female. And so splitting my attention, even just sending messages, would be a split of attention, and I don't have time for that. So I told him, I said, I've been working with my coach to put up a new profile, and I'm not sure what to do because you and I have been dating, but we haven't talked about exclusivity, and should I be messaging other people? And it turned out at the end of the conversation that we both agreed to invest time in each other. So I have not put up the profile. So that's on hold to see what happens here with him. And you know what? I think that's going to be all for today's episode. I'd like, ideally, to finish out my 10 episodes by the end of the year. That's honestly what I'd like to do. I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but today is like the 26th of December. So for me to finish the 5 would mean I'd have to have an episode recorded every day. Oh, you know what? Actually, it's been several weeks. And ideally, I put out an episode every week, right? I said that it would be a weekly episode at the beginning of this podcast. It turned out that it wasn't. I took some time off. So I'm just feeling bad that it's, you know, December 26th as I'm recording this. And you'll see by the history of the podcast dates that it was supposed to be weekly and it wasn't. That's okay. I don't think many of you were disappointed by that. And if you were, if you were really disappointed, I'm sure I would have heard from you, right? Okay. So I'm glad you're not disappointed. But weekly, you know, ideally, I said to myself, without really feeling it too deeply emotionally, I said, I will have the 10 episodes done by the end of the year. So if I were to do that, if I were to actually catch up with myself, I'd be doing an episode every day or a few times a day for the next, you know, today's the 26th. I think this is episode, what episode number is this? 6? This is 5 or 6? This is 6. This is episode number 6. So the 6th on the 26th, the 7th on the 27th, the 8th on the 28th, the 9th on the 29th, and the 10th on the 30th or 31st. How great would that be? Do I have enough content to even do that? I don't know. And I'm going to just let tomorrow decide for itself. Maybe I'll carry this into the new year and forgive myself for promising something without a whole heart and without really thinking about whether I truly wanted to do that or not. I think I just told myself in my mind rather than checking in with my emotional state and saying, do you really believe that's possible? Do you even want that? And yeah, so I really didn't do that when I said it to myself. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens every day in the next several days and see if I can meet that 10 episode it wasn't even a wish or desire. It was just a self-imposed deadline on myself. We'll see if I do that or if I carry it into the new year. Anyway, all right, everyone. It has been lovely chatting with you. And what can I say? You know, at the end of the last episodes, I had this recording of an Englishman wishing you well on your impossible mission. And I talked about you having an impossible mission at the end of every episode because that's what I first thought we would do with this podcast. I hope that you do have an impossible mission. I've shared my mission with you, and in many ways I have genuinely thought my mission is impossible because of the long list, which I haven't gone through with you, of things that I would need or I think that I'd need in a man, that would seem logically like an impossible mission. My mind has said, ha, 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 yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen. But you know my mission now. I do want to put myself in as many situations and emotionally and in terms of events and being out there so that I am the right person, and then I'm putting myself, my best self, out there so that I can find the right guy. That's my current mission. And, yep. I'm being vulnerable. It's one of the biggest decisions you can make in life, that it impacts you the most emotionally, impacts you the most financially, and impacts you the most physically. Yes, physically. There was a study done saying that human relationships are the things that impact your health the most. And it was a large-scale study. So yes, this is a big decision. It's a big decision. Very big decision. So using my coaching conversations to make the best choices around that, it has been, good idea. Good idea, Cindy. Good idea. Affirming myself at the moment. So yes, that's been my impossible mission. What's your mission been? What's your mission? Those first few episodes, even though I'm not following the same format right now or the same audio recording quality, those first few episodes really do have some important information about defining what your mission is too. I hope that you know what you want. And that's how I'll end this episode. I hope that you know what you want. If you don't know what you want, that you put out little breadcrumbs, or you identify the breadcrumbs. Don't put them out there. You identify, look for breadcrumbs of things that make you feel alive. And then from there, decide, you know, what do I really want in life? What's most important with me, for me, not with me? Yes, with me. What's important with me and for me? And after about a year of not being courageous enough to really confess it and say it and realize it, I realized after this incredible year 2020 that, yeah, one of the most important, well, the most important decision or desire and desire for me right now is, you know, investing in the right partner, or investing my time wisely to find or put myself in a situation, aka dating apps, is putting yourself in the right situation or a situation for that to happen. Yeah. Especially since there's social distancing, that is the only real practical context to put myself in for dating. Okay. For finding my man, I guess you could say, or letting him find me. That's the feeling that I really want, is to be myself authentically out there in the world and let him find me. Although I'm mumbling because with the current guy that I'm dating, I did message him first. I messaged him first. But I loved the photo of him. He had birds. Amazing birds on, like, you know, sitting on him in the photo. And I love birds. So I was like, oh, let me just send him a message. But then he started, you know, initiating and taking the reins with the initiating. So I put myself out there. And then he did quite a bit of chasing, which I like. I prefer that. But I'm also a chaser. I like being a little bit of a chaser. I've been trying to end this episode for what? 5 to 10 minutes? 8 minutes. Something like that. Okay. As I said before, I hope that you are looking for the breadcrumbs of things that spark joy in you. And if it is, like me, a partner, that you create the context for it. Maybe it's not a partner. Maybe you have a partner and you're very happy. Maybe you're happy alone. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else, like building a house for yourself, building a new career, building a new business. Or maybe you have a business already and it's about expanding it or changing it. Changing, pivoting, or changing your service offerings or your products, something that makes you more excited. Maybe it's changing your social life or your family life. Any of the above. There are 12 areas of life. Maybe it's changing your, and I think I definitely went through them in the first or second episode, the 12 areas. Maybe it's changing your environment. Maybe for your physical health, you want to change your environment, or maybe it's just your physical health on its own that you want to change and improve, which would also improve every other area of your life. These 12 areas of life are like a circle, and each of them affect each other. It's not like one, you know, is more important than the other. They all affect each other and affect ultimately your happiness and sense of health and joy. On that note, whether it's a week from now or a day from now, I hope that you listen to the next, or that you enjoy. If you enjoyed this, then I hope that you listen to the next episode, and that you subscribe if you related to anything that I said today. And yeah, that's it. All right. I don't have any little outro. I always leave with I've done every episode with an outro. What outro should I do here? You know what? I'll end with a little sound. I'm going to go through the little libraries of sound and see what sound I think would be best to end with. On that note, talk to you next time. Talk to you soon.